everyone. Welcome back to the 443 Security Simplified. Today, we have a special edition. I'm your host, Mark LaLiberty, and joining me, as always, is...
Drone pilot, Beat Saber aficionado, and all-around nerdy guy, Corey Knockreiner. And by the way, I'm also the CTO of WatchGuard.
You know, someone should really combine all of your hobbies into one sport. We smack drones of the sky with swords.
That sounds great, man. We could do it to live DJ music, maybe with DJ Moss. We could have fireworks in the background. We'll call it Drone Ninja. Would make millions.
Fireworks.
Fireworks.
It costs so much, like $5,000 per person to get, this is dumb. No. All right, let's continue on with the podcast. Today we have a very special episode for you all. We are live from the WatchGuard 2019 sales kickoff. Say hi to our listeners.
What a great audience we have here. As you're saying, Mark, we're live from the sales kickoff. Every year, the sales team, along with the executives, marketing, product managers, we get together to kick off the new year and see how WatchGuard can help both our customers and partners protect themselves in the upcoming year.
And, you know, I really wanted to do a magic show for this one, but for some reason, this guy wasn't on board with getting cut in half. So instead, we thought we would take the bright minds in this room and really take advantage of it. So today, we've got an interview with WatchGuard's CEO. We have a discussion on InfoSec tech challenges with our CIO and SVP of product management, as well as a lot of fun games for both our interviewees and the audience. So with that, let's jump right in. And we are going to start with our first segment, CEOs on podcasts having coffee. Introducing to the stage, CEO of WatchGuard Technologies, give a hand for Prakash Panjwani.
Coffee is promised. I'm sorry, by the way, it's not a was it a dry espresso tall?
Let me try.
I'm fired.
He drank the prop water.
Let's see, that definitely wasn't a cappuccino.
Well, welcome to the stage, Prakash. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's start out. On the 443, we always like to ask our guests what we call their origin story in security. So can you share with us how you got into the field, whether it's intentional or not, and then what really excites you about the industry in 2019?
How much time do we have? I think it's actually a pretty funny story. So back in, it was late 90s, by the way, guys.
I remember that. I'm not sure about Mark.
Yeah. Mark hadn't even been thought of yet. I think so. We were, I was enjoying a great career in telecom. I thought I was going to just skyrocket, you know, more bandwidth. You know, it'd be great for everyone. And then I got pinged by a friend of mine. He said, I'm working for a security startup, and please just come and meet with our founder. You'll like it. So finally, I'm like, all right, never really thought of working for a startup, but I'll give it a shot. So go up the company based in Toronto, met the founder, amazing guy, and recently passed away, so God, you know, rest his soul. But he was an amazing guy, and he's talking about cryptography with me. And he starts talking about Bob and Alice. I was like, what the heck are Bob and Alice doing here, right? And he's like, no, I gotta explain to you public key cryptography. And I'm like, I don't know any of this. So he gives me a book. It's his book that he had authored on cryptography. So I come back, I'm flying through Toronto Airport, and when your name is Prakash Panjwani and you look like me, and you're carrying a math cryptography book, the customs guys get really interested in you very quickly. So before you know it, I'm getting grilled on why I'm carrying this book as he's going through pages and pages of formulas.
There were exports laws on encryption back then.
I know, and it's Canada, people. But anyway, so got back, and then a few weeks went by. I wasn't sure, to be honest. I mean, I didn't really get it. And then their head of sales called, and he's like, and he was based in California. I met him there, and he goes, and he had the best line, and that's really got hooked. It was almost like a challenge to me he offered. He said, look, I've got these great cryptographers who think they've invented something just dramatic. It's going to change the security world. I just need people who can monetize it. And to me, that's really started that love. It was almost like a challenge to figure out, okay, there's technology here. People didn't quite understand security in those days as much, but you know, how do you actually translate that to success? And gosh, over 20 years later, I haven't looked back. And it's been fun because I feel like security is one industry that is constantly innovating, right? The threats go from one to the other. And unlike other industries, there's no one dominant player either, right? So it makes it really fun. You can come up with an idea, try to solve a real problem, evolve it from there, right? And actually make a great business out of it as well. And of course, things have changed dramatically in terms of people's understanding, which makes it even more fun.
That's great, man. And we're glad you're with us in the security industry. And by the way, they threw you in the deep end. Cryptography, is that, as Mark and I say, that requires a lot of maths.
Maths,
yes. Yeah.
And by the way, Bob and Alice, is that the nerd version of who's on first jokes?
Funny, Corey. Mark actually warned me about the humor. I'll catch on, Mark.
That joke.
Yeah.
So my question for you, WatchGuard is primarily focused on small to medium-sized businesses and distributed enterprises. So two-part question. First, how has our customer base kind of evolved over the years? And second, what are you focused on to make life easier for both our customers and our partners in 2019?
Not a great question. Look, WatchGuard's been around for almost now 22 years, and you know the focus has always been on small to mid-sized businesses, the SMB, so to speak. And I think that's in the company's DNA. I don't see that changing. But what's been interesting to me over the last couple of years is the definition of mid-sized market is changing. The M in the SMB is really changing. And I find like a lot of the larger enterprise customers are coming down to the mid. And the reason I believe that's happening to a large extent is the same things that the small businesses have faced for a long time. The threats are getting more complex. That's one side. The solutions are more complex. But the bigger issue is that they are facing a dramatic scarcity of resources as well to actually handle it. You know, actually finding people like you, two of you, hard to find.
Oh, at least right? One of us.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't Best Buy have nerds, Geek Squad or something?
And it's really hard to find people who get security, right? And I think that mid-size, or even the higher end of the mid-size, so to speak, is really drifting, I would say, towards companies like WatchGuard. Because what we do well is simplify things, and our partner base, especially managed service providers, are able to take what we provide security-wise and make it even easy to deploy and manage for those customers. So I see that trend continuing, and our job is, of course, on one side, keep making great products that simplify things, expand the portfolio because we gotta also solve for multiple threats. So we've gone beyond network security. We have added DNS firewall filtering. We have added authentication, you know, single sign-on capabilities. So we keep expanding the portfolio. But on the other side, we're very focused on making it easy for our partners to actually take those solutions and deploy it to our customer base.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a pretty good response.
And you seem very surprised, Mark.
Very, very lengthy as well.
I wasn't expecting smart, insightful things from our CEO.
Really weird.
Exactly.
I'm so
Come
used
on.
To hanging out with Corey the whole time.
Oh!
Please don't fire me. So Prakash.
Was that for Corey or for me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Next question.
Good answer.
As a part of the WatchGuard Threat Lab, Corey and I release our technical security predictions every year. We just put out our 2019 ones a month ago or so. Do you have any of your own business predictions in the security world for 2019, or even a technical one, if you have any?
I'm not answering technical questions for you two. But I'll give you a business prediction. And actually, it's funny. CRN, the channel publication, does this interviews with CEOs. And unlike other CEOs, I actually write my own, just to be clear, my answers, right?
That's so not what else Michelle told me.
Just to be clear. And one of my answers there was, I think 2019 is the year of channel productivity. And I really mean it. I think that is what it gets down to. I think it's about people, our partners, realizing that the customers who want the solutions, you know, they gotta find a way to expand the reach, as I mentioned earlier, the products that they bring to the end customer. And what's really changing, the reason that becomes even more important, and I think this is a trend that started already, but will continue, I think, over the next several years, is that the end users are gonna hold security industry very much accountable for actually solving problems. You know, forever, I think, you know, on the good side of this is that, as I said earlier, there's a lot of startups in the security industry. They're very point solutions. And they come out to market with some great innovative technologies, but they try to convince the customer that that one technology solves all their security problems. And I think the customers have caught on to that, right? That the days of point solutions are kind of over. And what's really important is people who can bring it together, and that's where, at least in our segment, the partner base is so critical to bring it together. And I think that also leads to the fact that I think over the next several years, we'll see more consolidation of the industry as well.
Wow, cool. Well, thanks for spending some time with us today, Prakash, and with our listeners. We should have done this long ago, but we're not quite ready to let you go yet, since you're the first victim, I mean contestant, in our new podcast game, Hacker Alias or Fake and Hilarious.
Yeah. I'm so screwed.
So, in this game, Corey and I will list a few weird potential hacker aliases.
Can I call a lifeline?
No, sir.
No lifeline.
Your goal is to guess which one is real.
And it doesn't really matter if you get it right or wrong. Everyone will learn a little bit about famous hackers. But first, before we give you a question, let's start with
an
example.
Not what Corey tells his kids. Doesn't matter whether you get it right or wrong, kids.
No, A's.
Yeah.
So, first question for the listening audience. Who's the real hacker from this list? They include Frodo, Gandalf, Fjordor, and Smaug. And this is not for you, Prakash. I want the audience to yell out, who do you think the real hacker is?
Fjordor.
I heard Smaug and Fjordor, but I think Fjordor wins out, and that is correct. For those that don't know, by the way, Fjordor, otherwise known as Gordon Lion, is a white hat hacker and security researcher, and he's the guy that created the network scanning tool Nmap. So now that you know how to play the game, let me hand it off to Mark.
Sure. Prakash, here's your first go. Who is the real hacker? Light Cipher, Shadow Tangerine, Dark Tangent, or Moonlight Sentinel?
The real hacker.
Yes.
There's no way to know.
Clock's ticking.
So obvious. Every year.
It is obvious to you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with Moonlight Sentinel.
Incorrect. Dark Tangent was actually the real hacker here.
Is it always the number three on your list? Is there a pattern? Are you
all in?
Can we change the slides real quick? So Dark Tangent's actually Jeff Moss. He's responsible for both Black Hat and DEF CON security conferences. He's also served as the chief security officer for ICANN.
I feel really stupid. Thanks.
Sorry.
You could stop anytime, Mark. That's good.
No, we have another one for you, another movie-themed one. So who's the hacker here? On question number two, the answers include Trinity, with numbers in her name, Apoc, Terminus, or Morpheus.
Wait.
And you get bonus answers for guessing the movie.
Well, Morpheus.
Morpheus?
No, he was not the hacker. He was not the hacker.
No.
Damn it.
The movie was The Matrix, where Morpheus, Trinity, and Apoc came.
Yes.
By the way, Trinity was a trick answer.
It's,
she's not right. Terminus is actually Leonard Rose, and he's an old school hacker who got convicted of wire fraud because he leaked AT&T's source code in something called Frack. For the listening audience that hasn't heard of Frack, it was one of the original first e-zines about security. It's not really in publication that much today, but you can go see old articles, which are really fantastic.
I thought that's how you get like oil out of the ground.
Frack?
Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Hacking.
One last one for time's sake here.
I'm glad that I'm here just to be a victim, but keep going. Yeah. Whatever.
Of course. I don't think we
Whatever
get any
gets
raises.
You going,
Mark.
No
Who
raises.
Is the hacker? Dill Dog? Dilbert?
Oh, this just keeps coming.
Dill Pickle? Or Dilly Dilly?
Dilly Dilly.
It's definitely not Dilbert. Definitely not Dilly Dilly. I'm going to go with Dill Dog.
Hey! That is correct.
It's finally good to hear a sound of a right answer. That was really good.
So we know how you play poker because of Ben, so we weren't expecting
that. Yeah, exactly. That wasn't going to work out.
Dill Dog is also known as Christian Rue. He was a member of the infamous hacking groups The Cult of the Dead Cow.
Oh, wow.
And Loft Heavy Industries. He created the Back Orifice 2000 application back in Pop Pop Corey's days.
Early aughts.
Yes. He's also spoken in front of Congress with other members of Loft, and he's now the chief scientist at Veracode.
Hey, Mark, is this how you pick up conversations at a bar? Just talk about Dill Dog and see how it goes?
Dilly Dilly.
Dilly Dilly.
We had an alternate joke for the names that we nixed for this one, by the way.
All right.
So, thank you for playing with us, Prakash. That was fun.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was all good fun.
All right.
Everyone give a round of applause.
So next up is our InfoSec Tech Talk, where we'll chat about the state of information security with a few WatchGuard technologists. So let me introduce to the stage WatchGuard CIO, Waisen Vanada, and our Senior Vice President of Product Management, Andrew Young. Thank you guys for joining us. It's great to have you both here to talk a little bit about the state of information security technology, both from kind of the IT front lines perspective and to get kind of a security product expert's point of view. So let's start the question with you, Wei-Sin. What do you think is the biggest security challenge facing companies like us, the SMB and mid-size enterprises?
Well, there's certainly a lot to be concerned with on the security front. Today, there's countless threats. Those same threats come in a myriad amount of, in variety. From an identity and access management standpoint, you have those concerns. Everyone is mobile and remote now, it seems like. And then just educating employees on just the security realities. Now, you couple that with smaller IT staffs that we hear about, and those same staffs are being asked to do more with less. Not all of that's in security. Then today you have just all the different types of tools that you can use and have. And so you couple all that together, and really I think the biggest challenge for SMBs is just the limited staff and the limited knowledge around security.
So that's a great answer. Follow up to that, how do you manage that challenge then?
Well, I think you need to identify certainly the threats within your organization and create those controls, create a program around that, and ensure that how you establish your and correct and take care of your prevention, detection, and things like that within the network. I think your network itself, you need a UTM device with a lot of different services to help protect you so you can put those controls in. Just being able to manage that, your visibility around that. And those type of things are, I think, are key and essential to get going and putting the right program in place to protect you and your organization.
Great advice.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit more about that with Andrew, though. But you just heard one of the challenges for IT and SMB. What do you think is the largest, how do you handle that kind of challenge with WatchGuard's product in 2019? How are we going to simplify our customers' and partners' lives?
Yeah, so I think the biggest challenge and the biggest way that we can help our customers kind of simplify security is really by being able to leverage their partners, right? You know, so you know, Wei-Sin talked about the limited IT staff and you know, the challenges with having security expertise. And we think the best way to be able to handle that is to kind of be able to scale our reach through our partner community and really empowering them to solve the threats and the security needs of our partners and kind of building that into our platform and our security services, making it easier for them to deploy and manage within their customers' environments.
That sounds like a great strategy. So it's a mix of just making our product simple, but also using the channel to be the front line of the expertise using our simpler product.
Exactly.
So Andrew, another question for you. What do you think one of the largest technical security challenges is that our customers are facing today?
So I think it would have to be something with, you know, the how sophisticated the threats are getting, right? Getting evasive malware within our customers' environments. And then, you know, providing solutions, again, that are easy to use, that we can enable partners. We've introduced kind of this pipeline of services for our customers that really make that easy. So bring the most advanced services out to our customers with the ability to do kind of traditional antivirus, you know, kind of extend that with what we call intelligent AV, which brings in artificial intelligence into that detection mechanism, and then following it up with APT blocker, cloud sandboxing. And so just really simple, kind of checkbox, turn it on, and now our customers and our partners are able to offer these services that are really as sophisticated as you can get in the industry.
That's fantastic. I mean, our group sees a lot of sophisticated malware, so having so many layers of just AV alone, I mean, there's other things as well, is great. But let's go back to Wei-Sin for another question. So one thing Mark and I see a lot is authentication and credential security is like a key concern in the industry because of password breaches, credential leaks. What do you do actually to protect WatchGuard's privileged accounts and access?
Yeah, you're right, Corey. Authentication and credential services is certainly huge today. In fact, it's a lot different today in terms of protecting your network and your environment than what you and I probably grew up doing. And so for us, it's pretty simple, right? Multi-factor authentication is a route that we chose. We think it's important to have something that's that you can, it's push-based at multi-factor authentication that leverages your mobile DNA from that perspective. I think also another key is from the user standpoint and deploying it, adoption might be a little struggle for some because it is an additional step and it's something new to them. And so I like to see that packaged up with an SSO platform, and that helps a single sign-on platform. And you couple that with your MFA, and that allows just the convenience between, you know, for the user in terms of accessing their SaaS apps, as an example, but it still, from an IT standpoint, provides you that level of security for your environment.
As someone that uses your multi-factor, I appreciate the fact that once I log in that portal, I can touch a lot of things.
And you mentioned push notifications as well, because not all multi-factor is created equal. Like, we've seen several hacks in just the last year where text-based multi-factor just doesn't cut it sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Andrew, how does WatchGuard specifically help businesses with this strong authentication problem?
Yeah, so our mission is really to make this technology accessible to everybody. And so we look at historically, MFA, only the largest of enterprises could deploy multi-factor authentication. You had to install a server, and you know, you got to manage it, and you got to maintain uptime. And by offering a cloud-based MFA solution, our partners and customers can get up instantly running on multi-factor authentication and really easy automated deployment to their employees, and then, you know, really a big focus on user experience. So you kind of balance that, you know, the convenience versus the security. And by adding features like single sign-on, right, actual users want to use the solution because it makes their lives easier.
Yeah, log in less.
Yeah.
So, tall man, I can't see the clock. How are we on time?
I think we should play the game.
All right. So, thank you guys for answering our questions here. But before you go, we've got another game for you. Next up is Hackurate or Hollywood Hack?
Gotta love our game show music, man. It's primo.
This came out of...
By the way, primo, it's an 80s reference like our game show music is.
Jeez. Moving on.
The old people got it. But, I'm the old people.
In this game, we will play a short movie or television clip with a hacking theme. And your job is to guess whether or not the clip shows accurate, realistic hacking, making it hackurate, or if it was written by a Hollywood hack.
So, you guys can team up.
Let's begin.
Ooh.
In our first clip, we have a scene from The Social Network where a young Zuckerberg is attempting to scrape user data from Harvard houses.
The first thing we're going to need is a lot of pictures. Unfortunately, Harvard doesn't keep a public centralized Facebook, so I'm going to have to get all the images from the individual houses that people are in. Let the hacking begin. First up is Kirkland. They keep everything open and allow indexes in their Apache configuration, so a little wget-magic is all that's necessary to download the entire Kirkland Facebook. Kid stuff. Next is Elliot. They're also open, but with no indexes on Apache. I can run an empty search and it returns all the images in the database in a single page. And I can save the page and Mozilla will save all the images for me.
Okay, Dustin.
Excellent. Moving right along.
Excuse me!
Lowell has some security. They require a username-password combo, and I'm gonna go ahead and say they don't have access to the main FAS user database, so they have no way of detecting an intrusion. Adams has no security, but limits the number of results to 20 a page. All I need to do is break out the same script I used on Lowell, and we're set.
So what do you guys think, Hackurate or Hollywood Hack?
So there were like maybe three or four different hacks there, but they all seemed accurate to me.
I think they're accurate. Yes.
That is correct, guys. Yeah. So really, all those web application vulnerabilities Zuckerberg was exploiting were common mistakes made by developers. Those ones were kind of early-ish ones back in the early-ish days of the web, you know, before
Back in my day when old Pop Corey.
But so lack of authentication, Apache indices that show entire web contents, we've seen those type of issues plenty of times before. So next up is a scene from a cult favorite, the 1990s movie Hackers.
There's a new virus in the database.
What's happening?
It's replicating, eating up memory. What do I do?
type cookie, you idiot.
I'll head him off at the pass.
We have a zero bug attacking all login and overlay files.
Run antivirus. Give me a systems display.
Down with one section 6 to 26. Make that 10 to 40. And 1 to 6.
Die, dickweeds.
A rabbit is in the administration system.
Send a flu shot.
Rabbit, flu shot, someone talk to me.
A rabbit replicates till it overloads a file, then it spreads like cancer.
Cancer?
So?
Softball, Corey, come on. Too many graphics definitely to be... accurate.
That's totally accurate.
So I think that's fake is what you're saying.
Yes.
You are correct. So good job. Real tough one there. That clip was basically like every single hacking buzzword and like a whole bunch of made up stuff all put together in the one. Like, I have quite a few problems with it. Why are they using VR to hack?
What? You don't use VR to hack? That's like my thing.
No. I mean, wouldn't just typing a command like be a little bit more efficient? I don't know.
Why? What do I know? Can put your hands floating in space, that works.
It's all over the place.
As an aside, so by
our,
the way.
Our Pac-Man blocker, I should cut that feature.
Yeah. Maybe that's not part of the roadmap this year. As an aside, by the way, even though everyone in the InfoSec community thinks the technology in this movie is trash, it actually holds a really a strong place in the hearts of old school hackers because it was one of the first movies that actually illustrated hacking. So people at Black Hat DEF CON love it.
So next up is a scene from another 1995 flick, Under Siege 2.
Tomorrow.
Damn it.
See here, access encoded, gigabyte of RAM should do the trick. We're in. All right, what do we got? Phone book, recipes, chicken cannelloni, fruit salad with crystallized ginger. Sounds good.
Hackurate or Hollywood hack?
That looks accurate to me.
Yes.
So there's some reality in that. They were trying to break into an Apple Newton, which really was the first PDA that young whippersnappers like Mark probably never even heard of.
Public display of attention?
But that's what I try to attain. But things like access encoded and sending a gigabyte of RAM, it kind of pure gibberish, even if RAM is a real thing.
Wait, so you can't just download more RAM from the internet?
Yeah, of course you can, man.
Whatever. Our final scene comes from one of our favorite TV shows, Mr. Robot.
It's a giveaway in more ways than one. Accurate or Hollywood hack? I gave it away, by the way. You'll find out. Wason, you answer this
one.
Yeah,
Andrew's not allowed.
I think anything on that show is accurate.
You're
very safe.
Entirely right. So, by the way, this was... This is one of the most potentially dramatic episodes of the series. They did one or a shot where they never really cut. But Angela, the character in that, was actually following instructions to hack something called a HSM, a hardware security module. And to do it, she had to fish or have credentials, socially engineer a person to get a few hardware tokens, and even use an additional device, which I actually think Andrew recognizes from his SafeNet days.
It looked like a PED.
Yes, a PED. And the reason I know this is, by the way, listeners, I write an article series called Mr. Robot Rewind on GeekWire where I go into details, and I actually consulted Andrew on this episode to see how accurate that HSM hack was.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for playing, but it is time for us to move on.
3 out of 4, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Well done.
In baseball, that's pretty good.
That's it. So, to all of those listening right now, thank you again for tuning in. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, unless you're on Google Podcasts, which you can...
5 stars, yeah. Always.
If you want to chat with Corey or I on Twitter, you can find me at XORRO_ and Corey at SecAdept, or the both of us at #the443podcast. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you next week.
Say goodbye to our listeners, WatchGuard.